This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It took years of negotiation to bring about today's historic deal between Iran and world powers. Tehran agreeing to curb its nuclear program in exchange for the easing of economic sanctions. Now, the White House has to sell that deal to Congress, and that could turn into one of the biggest political fights of the Obama presidency. Congress has 60 days to dissect the terms of this deal. Let's turn now to Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan's 5th District. Congressman, your first thoughts about the nuclear deal?
First of all, I think it's important to note that this nuclear deal is just that. It's about Iran's nuclear capabilities. It doesn't deal with all of the other behaviors that Iran has been engaged in that have threatened the security of the world or of the region in which they sit. The question really is whether or not those other behaviors regarding Iran can be taken on with a non-nuclear Iran or with an Iran that continues to pursue a nuclear weapon. And so I and other members of Congress in the next coming days and weeks take a very close look at this agreement to determine whether in its totality, it makes the world a safer place. And of course, for me, I have the additional questions about their other behaviors, especially their continuing to hold Amir Hekmati and other Americans who are innocent people. It's hard for me to erase that from my thinking when I consider the merits of the agreement itself.
And we know you have been right at the forefront of the national fight to get Iran to release Hekmati, who's been now held since August 2011. We also know that Iran's holding a Washington Post journalist, Jason Rezaian, for the past year, accusing him of spying. And you'd hope to make that release part of the agreement with Iran, and that didn't happen. Is the carrot lost now?
Well, I didn't want it to be part of the agreement in the sense that it would be a transaction within the context of the agreement. What I have been calling for is that Iran take the unilateral step of demonstrating its seriousness by releasing the Americans. But we've been very careful to not ask the administration or even suggest that Iran bring the freedom of these Americans to the bargaining table, because by definition, had this agreement been reached and they were included, something would have had to have been given to secure the freedom of these innocent Americans. And because of the nature of this negotiation, that something would have to do with their nuclear capabilities. We don't want to trade the freedom of an innocent American for a provision that makes the world a less safe place. And even Amir Hekmati has said that, and the families of others have said that as well. And it's an important distinction. The question is whether Iran will take action that will potentially bring greater validity to the agreement itself as we consider it, and actually take a step toward the global community that would be part of our consideration when we think about the merit of the agreement itself.
So what next for you and everyone who is trying to win the release of these Americans?
Well, we will just continue to raise the case. The most important thing for us right now is to not let the story of these Americans be lost in the discussion regarding the nuclear negotiation. In other words, to not let their case fade back into the woodwork. The negotiations themselves have shown a great light on Iran, and we think that has helped to shine a light on the fact that they continue to hold Americans who are innocent. What we don't want to see happen in the coming days is for that to be forgotten, for their stories to fade away. So we'll continue to raise their case, the case of Amir Hekmati, Jason Rezaian, Saeed Abedini, and, of course, Bob Levinson, at every opportunity that we have.
We know that actually Iranian television carried President Obama's remarks about the treaty, a very rare move. Could we see a, dare I say, warming between Washington and Tehran that you think could extend to the situation with these captives?
Well, I mean, there's a long distance between having no diplomatic ties and no communication and something that would seem more like a warming between the two nations. We have a long way to go before we get to that point. But I think there will be the potential for tangible steps toward increased diplomatic relations. This agreement is a big one. Iran's willingness to adhere to the agreement is the most significant consideration. But hopefully other steps, like the release of the Americans, or, you know, potentially reducing some of the other behaviors that we know they are engaged in that have been problematic. The easy one, honestly, is to release the Americans. It doesn't require any negotiation, doesn't require a counterparty, doesn't really require much other than their willingness to release these individuals And it would make, I think, a big difference in terms of the way the world, the American people, and more importantly right now, the way the U.S. Congress views them and this agreement.
Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee, as always, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside, Congressman.
Thank you.
And let's get the Republican point of view now as we welcome Congressman Bill Huizinga from Michigan's 2nd District. So good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I know that you and your colleagues are going to be getting 60 days to really study the terms of the agreement, but what are your initial thoughts about today's announcement?
Well, not very well encouraged, frankly. I'm concerned based on Iran's history and the agreements that they have ignored and broken in the past. They are viewed as the world's leading sponsor of state-sponsored terrorism. We know it's not just friends like Israel in the Middle East that are, the term I used, freaked out by them, but it's the Saudis and it's a number of others in that region that have huge concerns about what a strengthened and certainly nuclear Iran brings to the stability of the Middle East. So I'm afraid that this may very well spark a nuclear arms race within the Middle East.
Then we hear the president arguing that no deal means no lasting constraints on Iran's nuclear program and that other countries in the region would feel that they need to pursue their own nuclear programs and we would see an arms race.
Well, there's been public reports about this. It's widely viewed that the Saudis bankrolled the Pakistani nuclear program and that they are asking for assistance now, and not to mention obviously, ISIS and the complication that they bring into this whole thing, what happens when there is a government that gets it or gets closer to it, and what happens if those fall into the hands of a group like ISIS or ISIS itself. So, I just don't buy where the president is going with this, and there's just way too many pitfalls for not enough upside from my point of view.
In fact, let's talk a moment about ISIS, Congressman, because so far Iran's been one of our few partners in the region in that fight against ISIS. What do you make of our collaboration with Iran against ISIS, and how do you think this deal will affect our effort to combat the threat ISIS poses?
Yeah, obviously very complicated, and I think you have to go back a couple of steps where there have been failings by this administration to recognize ISIS and contain it early on. Remember, this was the famous JV team that the president referenced. We have not gone in and worked with our much more natural allies in the area, the Kurds. There ought to be direct arming of the Kurds from us, not just going through the central government in Baghdad. I think that we have not worked with the Iraqi government closely enough. So when the Iraqis are inviting the Iranians in, it's not so much us, it's others in the region who are going back to that old adage of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I'm afraid that we're going to find out that the enemy of my enemy is also my enemy once that other foe is defeated. So we have not done a good job. This administration has not done a good job in the region prior to Iran coming in and providing troops and supervisors in Iraq.
Congressman, is there any sort of compromise or adjustment on this nuclear deal that you could live with?
Well, we haven't seen the details, so I'm looking to that, but I do sit on the Financial Services Committee. We know that Iran has been brought to this, in part at least, because of some of the crippling economic sanctions, the banking restrictions and sanctions that are on there. It seems to me that we need to maintain that pressure rather than just turning it over wholesale and allowing, for example, arms to be imported. So we'll find out what exact details are in there to see where we can agree. I'm just afraid in the broad brush strokes at this point, it's headed in the wrong direction.
And we know that because of legislation that was passed earlier this year, the president could veto any resolution of disapproval, and then it would take a two-thirds vote from both the House and the Senate to override that veto.
Yeah.
How likely do you think it is the House and Senate Democrats would abandon the party and the president to kill the deal if, indeed, a resolution of disapproval is passed?
That's a good question, and I think that's one that is perfectly appropriate for my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Do they do what they believe is the right thing for the country and for the region, or do they just blindly back the president? And I can tell you that is overwhelming on the Republican side, not just the skepticism of the president. There is a true belief that it is a bad deal, and we're willing to say that publicly. I hear it all the time from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. They're very concerned about it. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of them this morning. Very concerned about it. Don't feel good about the direction that it's gone. but they feel trapped about supporting their team, quote-unquote, and their president versus doing what they believe is the right thing. So that's going to be critical as this unfolds.
Congressman Bill Huizinga, who's Republican from Michigan's 2nd District. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Congressman.
Hey, Cynthia, appreciate it.